So tonight we are going to discuss the concept of a Beis HaKnesses and whether the Beis HaKnesses is a partnership of all of the congregants who are part of the Beis HaKnesses, or whether we treat the Beis HaKnesses as some type of corporation where the it's its own entity, its own conglomerate, and it's not necessarily a regular shutvus. How exactly does that relate to Maseches Bava Metzia, Perek Eilu Metzias? How did it come up in the daf this week? Let's see. So the Gemara on Daf Chav Dalet quotes the Braisa, the opinion of Reb Shimon Elazar. In source one, V'chein Hay Reb Shimon Elazar Omer, Hamatzil Min Hariyu Min Adov Min Anemer In Abardlis, a person who saves an object which was being taken away by a wild animal, some type of tsunami, some type of tidal wave, hamotzi besrati platy gedola, or you find something in a very public thoroughfare, or you find something in any type of place where there are many people who frequent that area, hari elu shalo, the object belongs to you in all of these places, in all these situations. Why? Because you can assume in all those cases that immediately once it's lost, the owner was misyaish, and therefore you're allowed to keep it. And how this relates to Yesh Lamidas, okay, that was the beginning of the parak. Fine. But Lamaisa, the Gemara says, according to Reb Shimon Elazar, if you find an object in a place where Rabin Mitsuyin Sham, many people are frequenting the area, the halacha is that you're allowed to keep the object. Now, the Gemara has the following shaila, Iboiluhu. When Reb Shimon Elazar said that any place where Rabin are Mitzuyin Sham, you're allowed to keep the object, what type of Rabin, what type of public are we referring to? Berov Nachrim? Aval Berov Yisrael Lo? O Dilma Afil Berov Yisrael Nami Amr? Did Reb Shimon Elazar say that you're allowed to keep the object only when the public is the majority non-Jewish? But if there's a majority Jewish, then you're not allowed to keep the object because you assume that the Jews will return the lost object, so therefore there's no yeish on the part of the owner. Oh, Dilma, no. Or do we say that even if it's a majority of Jews, still, if it's a public thoroughfare, we assume that the owner of the object was misyaish, and therefore you're allowed to keep the lost object. That's the Gemara Safik, the Gemara Shaila. And the Gemara has a whole back and forth. The Gemara tries to prove it from the following halacha, Tashma. And this is why it's going to be relevant to us. Hamotzi mos mebatei kneseos batei midrashos. A person who finds money in a shul or a beis medrash, ubechal makom sharabim mitzuyin sham hari elu shalo, or in any other place where the public are found, it belongs to you. You're allowed to keep the money. Mipnei shabayle misyash mehen. So wait a second. In a shul and a beis medrash, would you say that's the majority Jewish or majority non-Jewish? So man shamas lei da'azel basaruba, who's the one who follows the majority, meaning public thoroughfares, you're allowed to keep the object, Reb Shimon Elazar. Shma mina filu berov Yisrael nami. So you see from here, even when the majority of the people who frequent the area are Jewish, still, if it's a public area, we assume that the owner is going to be misyaish, and the halacha is that you're allowed to keep the object. So you see, even if it's rov Yisrael. So says the Gemara, no, not so fast. Welcome, Eli, you got one? Hacha b'mayaskinan, says the Gemara, hacha b'mayaskinan, b'mefuzarin. No, maybe we're talking about money which is scattered. And we know, scattered money, no matter where you find it, no matter where it's lost, you're allowed to keep it because there's no simon with scattered money. So therefore, there's no proof from finding money in the shul. And the Gemara goes on to have a whole back and forth. Are we talking about, in fact, the majority Jewish? Maybe. It could be that you have so many security guards, it's like Yule on Shabbos, and there are more security guards than congregants, so you can have a majority of non-Jews in the shul, and therefore there's no proof necessarily that this Bryce is talking about the majority of Jews. So it's a whole back and forth of the Gemara. But Lamaisa, what emerges from this Gemara, and this is the relevant part for us, is that if you find a lost object in a shul, or a Beis Medrash, the halacha is that you're allowed to keep the object, right? Assuming that there, we assume that it's a frequented Beis Medrash, a frequented Beis HaKnesses, because we can assume that the owner of that object was misyaish because there are so many people present. That's what emerges from the Gemara. Now, one can ask the following question, and we spoke about this a little bit on Shabbos, but we'll go more into depth. Why is it that the finder is allowed to keep the object that was found in the Beis HaKnesses? Why don't we assume that the Beis HaKnesses itself acquires the object, right? We know that there is a halacha of kinyan chatzer, then whenever a person has a courtyard or a property, their property can acquire an ownerless object on their behalf. So why don't we say that the chatzir, the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses, should acquire the lost ownerless object on behalf of the Beis HaKnesses? Why don't we say that the Beis HaKnesses should become automatically the owner of the lost object? Like, you know, some shuls have, you know, you leave this, it becomes a shul property. So why isn't that true from a halachic standpoint? Why don't we say that automatically any aveda that's found in a shul automatically becomes shul property through kinyan chatzer? The Gemara seems to be assuming that whenever a person finds a lost object in the shul, they can keep it. But why don't we say that the shul becomes the owner of the lost object? That is the question that we are going to address. Everyone hear the question? So the Mangan of Ram, here in Source 2, in Simon Kuf Nandalet, in Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, quotes from the Sefer Aguda the following Chiddush. Matza davar b'chatzer Beis HaKnesses, zachaba. If a person finds something in a Beis HaKnesses, meaning a lost object, they are able to acquire it. V'lo amrinon, the chatzer Beis HaKnesses kona lehektish. And we don't say that the courtyard of the Beis HaKnesses acquires on behalf of Hektish, meaning on behalf of the shul, which is equated with Hektish on a certain level, as we'll discuss. The chatzer kona mikoach yad, the ein yad lehektish. So we're going to have to see a couple of gemaras to appreciate exactly what the Sefer Aguda is saying. But for now, what he's saying is as follows. The halacha is that chatzer works as an extension of a person's hand. We know there's such a thing called kinyan yad. If a person puts something in, your hand, you can acquire it through your yad. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that chatzer works as an extension of a person's hand. So just like my hand can acquire things on my behalf, so too my chatzer can acquire things on my behalf. So says the Sefer Aguda that the reason you can acquire something in the Beis HaKnesses, and we don't say that the Beis HaKnesses automatically acquires through chatzer, is because Beis HaKnesses is like hektish. It's like the Beis HaMikdash on a certain level, which is its own entity, its own corporation. And the Hektish obviously does not have a hand. There's no person. There's no hand for Hektish. And since there's no hand for Hektish, and there's no hand for the Beis HaKnesses, so then Memela, there's no Kinyan Chatzer for the Beis HaKnesses. That's the argument of the Sefer Aguda. That's why he assumes, the Gemara Bava Metzia says, that you can acquire something in a Beis HaKnesses, and we don't assume the Beis HaKnesses acquires it automatically, because since Chatzer works as an extension of Yad, and Beis HaKnesses does not have a Yad, so Memela, it does not have Kinyan Chatzer, and that's why a person can acquire. Now, where is he getting this Chiddush from? It sounds like a whopper of a Chiddush. Where does it come from? So it comes from two Gemaras, a Gemara in Bava Basra and a Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia. So let's first take a look at the Gemara in Bava Basra here in Source 3. So the Gemara really is quoting a Mishnah in Maseches Me'ilah. A Mishnah in Maseches Me'ilah. So take a look at the third to last line. The third to last line. Actually, let's look at the second line. Hikdish bor malei amayim. Let's say a person sanctifies a pit that's filled with water, or ashpos malei zevel, or a garbage dump that's filled with garbage, or shovach malei yonim, or a pigeon coop that's filled with pigeons, sade malei asavim, or a field that's filled with grass and vegetation, or ilon nasoi peiros, or you have a tree that's holding, bearing fruit. What's the halacha if you sanctify that? Moalin behen ubameshav asochan. You can violate mi'ila. Mi'ila is the prohibition of benefiting from something that belongs to Hektish. So you violate Mi'ila on the pit and the water, the content inside the pit. And the same with every case that's mentioned in the Mishnah. The Ashpos Malei Zevel, Shovach Malei Yonim, that if you sanctified the pit while the water was inside of it, so everything, the pit and the water, get Kedusha, they get sanctified, and now there's Mi'ila on both the pit and the water. However, and this is what's relevant for us, Aval Hikdish Bor, let's say you sanctify the pit, V'achakach Nismalamayim, then it got filled with water, then rain came down and it filled the pit. Or Ashpa, V'achakach Nismalazevel, or you sanctified the garbage dump, and then the garbage was placed inside of it. Shovach v'achakach nesmala yonim, ilan v'achakach nosa peros, sade v'achakach nesmala asavim. So all these cases, you sanctified the place, and then it was filled with the content after the sanctification. What's the halacha there? Mo'alin behen Ve'ein mo'alin b'masha v'sochan de Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that mi'ila is only on the place that you sanctified, but not on the stuff that filled that place subsequently. Okay? So in that case, when you sanctify, let's say, the boar, malimai. So you sanctify the pit, and then afterwards the water went into the pit. So the halacha is that the mi'ila, the prohibition of benefiting from the hektish, only applies to the pit which you sanctified, but the water which filled the pit afterwards, there's no mi'ila on that. So one can ask the following question. I don't understand. Once I sanctify the pit, why does the pit now become a chatzer, and anything that falls into the pit automatically should belong to hektish? Why don't we say that, even though it's true, when I sanctified the pit, there was no water in there, but if the water subsequently went into the pit that belongs to Hektish, just like I can be kona something through Chatzer, so too Hektish should be kona something through Chatzer. Everyone hear the question? So Tosa says, and the Rashbam says the same shot in the Gemara there in Bava Basra, you see from here, like what we just saw from the Sefer HaGudin, source 4, in Malin Shabbosoko, why? The lo amrinan sheyikne Chatzer Hektish, kemo shekona Chatzer Hedyot. We don't say that Hektish has the ability to acquire things in its courtyard, in its chatzer, the way Hedyot does. The chatzer mishum yadis raboi, v'lo matzinu yad lehektish, because we know that chatzer is an extension of yad, and we don't find that Hektish has any hand, any yad. So just like Hektish does not have any yad, so too Hektish does not have any chatzer. And that's why the Gemara in Bava Basra, really the Mishnah Me'ila, says that the water which fills up the pit which belongs to Hektish does not automatically become kadosh, because Hektish does not acquire it through chatzer. And the same thing with the shovach, with the pigeon coop, and the same thing with the garbage dump, and all those things that the Hektish does not acquire through chatzer, because chatzer is an extension of yad, and therefore Hektish doesn't have a yad, so Memela, Hektish is not going to have Kenyan Chatzer. That is the argument of the Sefer HaGudah. Okay, so again, we start with the Gemara Bava Metzia. The Gemara Bava Metzia sounds like a person can acquire a lost object in shul. We wondered, why is that true? Why don't we say that the shul should acquire the object automatically through a Kenyan Chatzer? So the Sefer HaGudah explained, the Magen Avraham quoted from the Sefer HaGudah, that no, because since a Beis HaKnesses is like Hektish, we know that there are many halachos which equate a Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMikdash. So on a certain level, Beis HaKnesses is like Hektish. And just like Hektish does not have Chatzer, based on that Gemara in Bava Basra, which we just saw, so too, Beis HaKnesses does not have Kenyan Chatzer, and therefore a person can acquire a lost object, an ownerless object, from the shul in the Beis HaKnesses. Make sense? So far, so good. Okay.
What do you mean chatzer mishum yad? Is that some kind of rabbanan?
So we're about to see the Gemara Masechas Bava Metzia, but no, it's a din d'oraisa. The Gemara in Bava Metzia, way back on Yud Aleph, discussed the Kenyan Chatzer. We'll see the Gemara in a moment, but the Gemara has a question. What's the source for Kenyan Chatzer? So the Gemara has a svara. Either it's an extension. Well, the Gemara has some sources that we find by Geneva, that a person can be kone through Chatzer. The Gemara tries to figure out, is it only by Geneva? Other cases, the Gemara ultimately says that the mechanism of Chatzer is through the idea of Yad. It's a Hagdara. The definition of Chatzer is, it works the same way Yad works. It's an extension of Yad, and therefore anyone who has a Yad can also have a Chatzer. That's what the Gemara says. The problem is the Gemara doesn't only say that, as we'll see in a moment. So that's the Sefer HaGudah. Now, the Ktzois HaChayshin in Simon Reish quotes this Sefer HaGudah in the Magen Avraham, and he's very, very unhappy for a number of reasons. One, the first reason is, we'll see the Gemara in Bava Metzia in a moment, that the Gemara in Bava Metzia does not necessarily conclude that Chatzer is only an extension of Yad. If you remember, the Gemara says something else as well. Take a look in Source 5. El Amar Ravashi, Chatzer is Rabbi Mishum Yad. It's true. Chatzer is an extension of Yad. Velo Gara Mishlichus. But it's not any worse than Shlichus. And it's a whole discussion exactly how to understand this Gemara. But the Pashas in the Gemara is that Chatzer works in two ways. One way it works is through Yad, but it also works as a shliach, and that's the whole discussion. Ein shliach d'arveir by chatzer. That's the discussion there in the Gemara with the Tosfos. Okay, so it sounds like from the Gemara that even if you don't have yad for whatever reason, So chatzar can't work in that regard, but a chatzar can also work as a shliach, meaning just like I can designate a shliach to do something on my behalf, to acquire something on my behalf, so too my chatzar can function as my shliach, my messenger, to acquire things on my behalf. That seems to be what the Gemara concludes. That's Rav Asher. That's the maskan of the Gemara. And if that's the case, even if it's true that Hektish, even if you assume that Hektish and Beis HaKnesses don't have a Yad, but they do have a Shliach, and just like they can have a Shliach, so too they should be held to have a Chatzar, because Chatzar works as a Shliach as well. How do I know that Hektish has a Shliach? Who's the Shliach of Hektish? So, could be Kohanim. That's the Machlokas in the Gemara, whether Kohanim are the Shluchim of, you know, the people, or Shluchim of Rahmana. That's a machlokas in the Gemara, but who is the most obvious shliach of Hektish? The Gizbar, the treasurer. The treasurer is the one who takes care of all the finances in the Beis HaMikdash. He's the one who does all the acquisitions and deals with the money of the Beis HaMikdash. The Gizbar is the ultimate shliach of the Beis HaMikdash. So just like the Hektish could have a shliach, and presumably so too a Beis HaKnesses could have a treasurer, can have a shliach acting on behalf of the Beis HaKnesses, so too they should also be able to have a chatzer. So why should the Gemara say, really Tosfos and the Sefer HaGudah say, that just because Hektish does not have a yad, therefore they can't have a chatzer? But they have shlichus, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia says that chatzer also works as a shliach. So just like Hektish and Beis HaKnesses could have a shliach, they should also have kinyan chatzer. That's problem number one. Problem number two is the Ramban has a different understanding of the Gemara Bava Metzia. Meaning Tosis understood the Gemara Bava Basra, I'm sorry. Tosis understood the Gemara Bava Basra that if you sanctify the pit and then the water fills up in the pit, so the Mishnah that the Gemara Bava Basra quoted said that you're not violating Me'ilah on the water, you only violate Me'ilah on the boar, because when you sanctified the boar, there was no water in it, and the water came in afterwards. And Tosis explained that the boar does not function as a chatzer on behalf of Hektish, because Hektish does not have kinyan chatzer. That's what Tosis explained. The Ramban, over there in that Gemara Bava Basra, has a different explanation. Take a look here in Source 6. Chidushi Ramban, Bava Basra, Ayin Tetz. V'hadar minu mo'alim behen v'inu'alim be'mesh v'sochan. Shemati mishum, the lo kanya chatzel hektish mishum diyadish v'boi v'inya lehektish v'chein pesh Rabbeinu Shmuel. That's the Rashbam. So the first explanation that the Ramban quotes is the idea that we just saw from Tosis and the Rashbam, that the reason the water does not get sanctified is because Hektish does not have kinyan chatzer. Number one. Says the Ramban a different shot. V'yesh lomar inami, kani le, ein mi'ila bezichiyasa. Says the Ramban a different understanding. It could be that we misunderstood the Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't mean to say that Hektish does not acquire the water. Hektish does acquire the water. When you sanctify the pit, and then the water goes into the pit, Hektish actually acquires the water, because now the pit is functioning as a chatzer of the Hektish, and now, memela, anything that goes into the pit will function as the chatzer, which is going to be kona on behalf of Hektish. However, says the Ramban, just because Hektish acquires something, just because Hektish owns something, does not necessarily mean that there's Me'ilah. Well, meaning you can differentiate between ownership of Hektish, ownership of the Beis HaMikdash, and Me'ilah, the prohibition of being Nehene from it. How so? So the other Rishonim explain, they expand upon this idea of the Ramban, and they suggest, and this is going to be for a different shiur, so we're just going to mention it now very briefly. The Ramban, what he means to say is that in order to have Me'ilah, you have to have what we call Kedushas Peh. It's not enough for something to belong to Hektish. In order for there to be Me'ilah, it has to be that it was sanctified with a person's verbal declaration. In order for an object to have the prohibition of Me'ilah, it has to be that it was verbally declared to belong to Hektish. You say, I want this object to be Kadosh, I want it to belong to the Beis HaMikdash, only then is there Me'ilah. But you have something else which belongs to Hektish, but it wasn't through a verbal sanctification of a person, of a Jew, even if it belongs to Hektish, it's not going to have Me'ilah. And that's why the Mishnah in Me'ilah, the Gemara in Bava Basra, quoting the Mishnah in Me'ilah, says that if you have the boar that gets filled with water, even though the water now belongs to Hektish, because Ramban disagrees with Tosis, and he thinks that really Hektish does have kinyan chatzer, nevertheless, it's not going to have me'ilah because it wasn't through a verbal sanctification of a Jew. It was through some acquisition of kinyan chatzer. So says the Ktzais, he doesn't like the Sefer Agudah for a couple reasons. Number one is he thinks that Tosis seems is very difficult because the Gemara says that chatzer also works as shlichus, and hektish should have shlichus, so they should also have chatzer. Number one. Number two, the Ramban has a completely different understanding of the Gemara, which emerges that hektish actually has kinyan chatzer. That's the Tosis' second problem with the Sefer Agudah. Number one, they're shlichus, and chatzer should work through shlichus. Number two, the Ramban has a different understanding, which comes out that there actually is kinyan chatzer for hektish. Okay? Number three. This is the Tosis' third problem. This is the main thing we're going to discuss tonight. I know it took us a while to get there. So the third issue that the Tosis takes with the Sefer Agudah is the Sefer Agudah made an equation. He said that Beis HaKnesses is like hektish. And just like hektish, the corporation of hektish does not have kinyan chatzer, so too Beis HaKnesses does not have kinyan chatzer. That was the equation that the Sefer Agudah made that the Magen Avraham quoted. Says the Ktzais, not so fast. Even though it's true, hektish is a corporation and it's not a partnership, says the Ktzais, I'll prove it to you that really the way a Beis HaKnesses works is it's a partnership of all of the members of the shul. All of the shul members are partners, are shutfin, in the property of the Beis HaKnesses. And says the Ktzais, since that's the case, just like you can have partners who own a chatzer, so too the Beis HaKnesses can have a chatzer, and it should be kone on behalf of the Beis HaKnesses, like any shutfin. Jordan and I can own a property together, and anything that falls, any lost object, ownerless object that falls into our property, we'll both acquire it. Because shutvin have kinyan chatzer, so says the Ktzais, so too the Beis HaKnesses should have a kinyan chatzer because it's just a regular partnership. How does the Ktzais know that a Beis HaKnesses is a regular partnership? So it's based on the Gemara in Maseches Nedarim here in Source 7. The Gemara in Nedarim is talking about the following case. If I take a neder and I say, I don't want Eitan to benefit from anything that belongs to me. I don't want Eitan to benefit from anything that belongs to me. So the Gemara says, based on the Mishnah, the Gemara says that not only can he not benefit from my personal property, he cannot benefit from anything that belongs, that's any municipal property. Anything that belongs to the city or anything that is public property in the city. And what are the examples that the Gemara gives? The Ezu Davar Shal Osa Yer, the Gemara in the Sechus Nedarim, Memchesim and Aleph, Ezu Davar Shal Osa Yer, Kegon HaRechova, the square, the Hamerchas is the public bathhouse, Ubeis HaKnesses, Vahateva Vahasvarin. So all of these things are considered property of the city. And says the Ran explaining, take a look in Source 8, the Ran over there in the Gemara, Vasrin B'davar Shal Osa Yer, Shehem Darmba, B'nei She'en Lan Shir Echeres Chelikba, Shehem Yecholim Hochran Zayin Tova Yer, B'mayim Anshe Yer, V'havalu Kishutvin She'osrin Zeh Al Zeh. Says the Ran, what the Gemara is telling us is that since the members of the city, the residents of the city, or the members of the shul are partners in everything that belongs to the city and belongs to the shul, therefore, when I forbid someone else from benefiting from me, not only are they forbidden to benefit from my own property, but they can't benefit from the city's, the municipal property, the shul property, because I have a chelek, I have a portion in that property, and therefore I have the right to forbid someone else from benefiting from that property.
You have a unilateral right, even if everybody else reaches a different conclusion?
Good question. I have a unilateral right to prevent someone else who is not an owner of that property. So,
even if all the owners say it's fine?
Even if all the owners say it's fine for Eitan to benefit from the permissive property, I believe so, yes. I believe so.
10,000 people, one has a veto?
Correct, in terms of forbidding an individual from benefiting the property. I'm pretty sure. So what the Gemara is telling us is, says the Ktzais, you see from the Gemara, that the way to conceptualize the property of a city, and for our purposes a Beis HaKnesses, is not as a corporation, not as an entity upon its own, a conglomerate where the individual shareholders are not considered owners. Rather, it sounds like from the Gemara, from the fact that I have the right to forbid someone else from benefiting from the property, it sounds like I have some type of ownership. Like the Ron said, it's a shutfitz, it's a partnership. Isn't the Gemara telling us explicitly, says the Ktzais, that the way to conceptualize a Beis HaKnesses is a shutfitz? It's not like Hektish. Hektish is most certainly a corporation, right? There's no individual owner of the property of Hektish. It's Hektish is a corporation. There's no owner of the property of Hektish except Hektish. It's its own thing. Says the Ktzais, you see that Beis HaKnesses does not work that way. Beis HaKnesses is a shutfitz. It's a partnership. And since that's the case, since we should conceptualize Beis HaKnesses as a shutfitz, therefore, says the Ktzais, it should have kinyan chatzer. I'll agree with you. I'll give you the idea, the halacha, let the agudah be right, let the Tosas be right, that Hektish doesn't have kinyan chatzer. But Beis HaKnesses has nothing to do with Hektish. Beis HaKnesses is a partnership. So says the Ktzais, that being the case, and here it's in source 9 if you want to see on your own time, the Ktzais here argues the Sefer Agudah, and he thinks that a Beis HaKnesses is nothing like Hektish. It's really a shutfitz, and he quotes many sources which prove that point. Now, if that's the case, why does the Gemara in Maseches Bava Metzia say that if you find an object in a Beis HaKnesses, that's how we started this. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia that if you find an object in the Beis HaKnesses, you're allowed to keep it. And we don't say that Beis HaKnesses automatically acquires the object. But wait a second. Bishlama, according to the Agudah, we understood, because since the Beis HaKnesses does not have a chatzer, therefore the Beis HaKnesses does not acquire the object automatically. But according to the Tzayis HaChayshin, that the Beis HaKnesses is a partnership, and just like partners can have kinyan chatzer, so too the Beis HaKnesses should have kinyan chatzer, and anything that's in the shul courtyard should automatically belong to the shul if it's ownerless. So, what are you going to do with that? So the Ktzais says, nah, it's not such a problem. There are different ways, ways to explain why the chatzer will not be kohen on behalf of the shul. He gives a few one, I'll mention one. He points out the halacha is that even though it's true that a person's property, a person's chatzer, can acquire something even if he doesn't have knowledge. I mean, let's say I in my backyard there's a deer that runs into my backyard. And it has a broken leg, and now it's going to get stuck there. So the halacha is, theoretically, that even without my knowledge, my chatzer can acquire things without my das. It has to be mishtaberes, maybe I have to be standing next to it, mishtaberes, but theoretically, even if it's not my knowledge, if I'm standing next to it, or it's mishtaberes, if it's protected, my chatzer can be kona things without my das. That's the halacha. Says the Ktzais, without getting into why that is, the Ktzais point proves that when it comes to a chatzer hashutfin, when it comes to a chatzer of partners, even though it's true there is kinyan chatzer, it only works midas hashutfin. That both of the partners have to be aware of the fact that the chatzer is being kone, acquiring something on behalf of the partners. So if that's the case, says the Ktzais, it could be that that's why, by the Beis HaKnesses, a person can theoretically acquire a lost object in the Beis HaKnesses. Why? Because what, you can get all the members of the shul to be aware of the lost scooter that's in the shul? Nah, come on, give me a break. Most likely, you're not going to have the members of the shul be aware of the lost object, the ownerless object that's in the Beis HaKnesses. Therefore, since it's a partnership, therefore, the Ktzai says, that's why, even though normally there is kinyan chatzer, but in this case, you'll be able to keep the object that you find. But either way, for our purposes, let's take a step back. What emerges is a major machlokas between the Ktzos and the Sefer Agudah as to how to conceptualize the property of a Beis HaKnesses. Do we understand the Beis HaKnesses as something like Hektish, a corporation, where it's its own entity, its own conglomerate? There's no ownership of any individual per se. It's its own thing. That was the Sefer Agudah. Or do we say no? Really, the property of the Beis HaKnesses is really the property of all the members of the shul. It's a partnership. And therefore, every member has a stake in the property of the Beis HaKnesses. And that's why the Ktzo says you have the right to forbid other people from benefiting from that property. So this machlokas between the Ktzos and the Sefer Agudah plays out in other areas of halacha. For example, there's a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah, and we spoke about this a little bit on Shabbos. There's a mitzvah of Ksiva Sefer Torah. That you're supposed to write a Sefer Torah. And theoretically, if you don't have the ability to write a Sefer Torah, you could commission someone to write a Sefer Torah on your behalf. Okay, fine. Now, the Sefer Torah Schaim, a commentary in Masechta Sanhedrin, has the following chiddush. He says that if a person writes a Sefer Torah, he should make sure that he doesn't give it over to the shul. Now, you can write a Sefer Torah and let the shul watch it. You know, the shul is just going to be a shomer, and house the Sefer Torah, that's fine. But you shouldn't be maknid, you shouldn't give the shul ownership of the Sefer Torah that you write. Why? because the Torah Chaim says that the mitzvah is not only to write a Sefer Torah, but it's also to own the Sefer Torah that you write. And once you relinquish your ownership, you no longer become the owner of the Sefer Torah, and you have to spend another $50,000 in writing another Sefer Torah. How much it costs now? I don't know. So that's the chiddush of the Torah Chaim. Yeah? So far, so good. Now, take a look at Source 10. Rabbi Kveger says the following chiddush based on this Torah Chaim. Rabbi Kveger in Hilchos Sefer Torah, Simrei Shalaf, Sef Aleph. B'Torah Chaim, Kosov. De'ein lo lahakdish a Sefer Torah letzibor, elam kin kosov acharis la'atzmo. You shouldn't give over the Sefer Torah to the tzibor, to the shul, unless you write another one. Why? The chayvan shemakdisha, har hi shal hektish, v'lav shalo, ve'inu yotz v'yedei mitzvah saseh, kisu lechem, ayin sham. And once you give over ownership to the tzibor, it's no longer yours, and you no longer fulfill the mitzvah of kisu lechem. Kisu lechem as hashir azos implies that you have to lechem, you have to own the Sefer Torah. Now, says Rabbi Kveger, a tremendous, tremendous chumrah, and chiddush based on this comment of Torah Chaim. Mashma, the mifshat pshita leila Torah Chaim, dim yesh lo sefer Torah b'shutfis. It sounds like the Torah Chaim is assuming that if a person has a sefer Torah in partnership, meaning he partners with a bunch of people to commission the writing of a sefer Torah, the eino yotzei ba. It sounds like from the Torah Chaim that he assumes that with a partnership, you're not going to be yotzei the mitzvah of ksiva sefer Torah. Why? Daha kishemaktish letzibor gamhu shutef bo. Because, think about it, if you give the Sefer Torah over to the shul that you're a member of, are you giving over complete bialus? No. You're a member of the shul, so it's true, you're giving over a lot of shares of the Sefer Torah, but you're retaining a share, a chelek in the Sefer Torah for yourself. Because when you give over the Sefer Torah to the shul, now you've given over to the entire shul and all the members of the shul, and nevertheless, says Rabbi Kveger, the Torah Chaim is assuming that you're not Yotzei. So it sounds like Rabbi Kveger says, it sounds like according to the Torah Chaim, that when a person writes a Sefer Torah b'shutfis, it's not considered theirs. Meaning, in order to write a Sefer Torah, you have to be the complete owner. Because just like when you give it over to the Sefer Torah, you're a partial owner, you're not going to be Yotzei according to Torah Chaim. So too, any type of partnership, any type of shutfis, let's all get together here and write a Sefer Torah, says Rabbi Kveger, it's no different than giving it over to the shul. And just like when you give it over to the shul according to the Torah Chaim, you're not going to be Yotzei, so too, when you have a random group, not associated, not affiliated with any institution, of a group of people who get together to commission the writing of the Sefer Torah, Rabbi Kveger is a chomer that you're not going to be Yotzei based on this comment of the Torah Chaim. Yeah? So what was Rabbi Kveger assuming? He compared the Beis HaKnesses with Shutfis and said, just like by Beis HaKnesses, you're not Yotzei, so too, partnership, you're not Yotzei. What's he assuming? What's his conceptualization of Beis HaKnesses? That it works as a Shutfis, as a partnership, exactly. And that's why he's able to compare the two. Says Ramosha Feinstein here in Source 11, Ramosha doesn't understand what Rabbi Kveger is talking about. I'm Chidusha Rabbi Kveger in Source 11. I'm Chidusha Rabbi Kveger. Simon Reish Ayin. I'm Reish Shekasav Demashma Mitaras Chayim. Okay, so skip to the third line. He just quotes the Rabbi Kveger. Laniyaz Daiti says Ramosha Yesh Chiluk Gadol De Kishemaktish Letzibor Garua Mishel Shutfin. Says Ramosha, there's a fundamental difference between giving ownership over to a shul and doing something through a partnership. Why? When you give it over to the shul, says Ramosha, the ein lo chelik mamish kamo b'shel shutfis. It's not a regular partnership. The b'shel shutfis yachal limkor chelko v'yachal etvo kishiyachalko. When you have a regular partnership, each partner can sell his chelik or could demand a division of the object. Right? That's the sugyan bava basra, good or good. U'kishiyashar b'chaluka yeh din good or good. But when you sanctify something to the tzibor, when you give it over to the Beis HaKnesses, a person can't go on the street and say, I don't want to be part of the shul now. Can I sell you my membership? Can I sell you my chelek in the shul's property? You have no right to do that. Come on. You can't go to the rabbi and say, Rabbi, I want to sell you my chelek in the shul's property. You can't force him to give you money for your chelek in the shul's property. It's not a regular partnership. Oh, but we saw the Gemara Nedarim says that you can forbid someone else from benefiting from the shul property. Didn't that indicate, that was the Ksoisiz Raya, didn't that indicate that it's a regular shutfis? Says Ramesha, no. Dein yachal eno kishlo gamar. Rak mishum shal kapanim yesh lo hana mihamadir. Vulai less or sadaver beyichod eno yachal kemosh in yachal limkor rak ba'aser kol. Also, Rosh goes on to say that gemara is not necessarily raya. Meaning, maybe in order to do that, you don't need full ownership. You don't need full ownership, and just because you can forbid someone else from benefiting from the basic nesis does not necessarily indicate that you're a full owner. Maybe on a certain level it's considered him benefiting from you, but it's not that you're a full owner, and that Gemara Nedarim is not necessarily a Raya. So Moshe says, he thinks that just because the Torah Chaim said that you shouldn't give the Sefer Torah that you write over to the Beis HaKnesses because you're relinquishing your ownership, Rav Moshe disagrees, and he thinks that when it comes to a regular shutfis, when it comes to a regular partnership where you actually have a full ownership on a chelik of the Sefer Torah, Rav Moshe thinks that you can be Yotze. And he argues with Rabbi Kiviger. But what do you see from this machlokus between Rav Moshe and Rabbi Kiviger? That they're arguing about how to conceptualize a tzibur, a Beis HaKnesses. Do we perceive the Beis HaKnesses, do we conceptualize the Beis HaKnesses as a partnership, as a shutfis? That was the opinion of Rabbi Kiviger, and that's why he felt that we should equate the two. Or do we say, no, the shul is in its own entity. It's not a regular shutfis. It's a corporation. It's not tied down. It's not defined by the individual owners. It's a corporation. It's similar to Hektish. So the same machlokes that we had before, the Sefer HaGud and the Ktsois, when it came to Kinyan Chatzer, whether Beis HaKnesses is like Hektish and doesn't have Kinyan Chatzer, or it's like a Shutfis and does have Kinyan Chatzer, is the same, Chora, the same machlokes between Rav Moshe Feinstein and Rabbi Kiviger in terms of whether a person can be Yotze, the mitzvah of Ksivas Sefer Torah with Shutfis, whether we compare a shul to a Shutfis. Do we say just like when you give the Sefer Torah to the shul, you're not Yotze, so too with Shutfis, you're not Yotze? Or do we say, no, they're two separate things. When you give it over to the shul, you're relinquishing your ownership in Lagamre, because it's not a regular Shutfis, as opposed to a regular partnership where you do have a full chelik, a full portion in the partnership, so then that's a full bialis, and Rav Moshe thinks that you can be yotze with the mitzvah of ksivas sefer Torah. This is very relevant for another area of halacha, halacha lamaisa. Rabbi Sabalowski, when he was here, he mentioned the following shaila that he was asked a number of years ago. Very, very interesting. We have a minig that we sell chametz before Pesach to not violate Bali Rabbi Matzah and to avoid problems of chametz shalav a Pesach that it becomes aser bahana. So a gabbai of a certain shul came over to him and said, "Oy vavoy, I forgot to sell the shul's chametz." So you would think, okay, nishka freilach, not such a big deal. What, they have a few crackers, a box of Cheerios? So the gabbai said, no, they had a tremendous, it wasn't a dry shul, they had a tremendous stash of schnapps. And apparently it was very expensive, and he was very concerned that the schnapps was now asr bahana. That's the chametz shalav pesach. So what's the halacha? So aside from the fact that, you know, everyone, you know, whenever you do a mechira, so you sell the chametz, and you incorporate into, even if I don't mention the chametz, anywhere it is. So Rabbi Sloski pointed out that l'chora, based on this machlokis between the Aguda and the Ktzais, or Rabbi Kiviger and Rav Moshe Feinstein, you can come out with another possible kula. In other words, if you assume that the Beis HaKnesses is a regular partnership, so then you have a problem. Because if it's a partnership, then everything that the shul owns really belongs to all of the members. And just like all the members have to sell their chametz, so too they have to sell all the shul's chametz. So maybe they incorporated that into their mechira. But maybe you have another kula. If you assume, like the Sefer Aguda, that the Beis HaKnesses is really a corporation, it's like Hektish, and the Gemara Maseches Pesachim says explicitly that any chametz that belongs to Hektish, there's no prohibition of Bayer Rabbi Matzeh. Hektish is allowed to own chametz on Pesach. There's no prohibition for Hektish, for the Beis HaMikdash to own chametz on Pesach. It's a corporation. There's no prohibition to own chametz on Pesach. And therefore, the chametz that Hektish owns on Pesach does not have the knas of chametz shalav a Pesach. So potentially, at least, you know, b'dieved, he felt that if you assume like the Sefer Aguda, and we're saying if you assume like Rav Moshe Feinstein as well, that the Beis HaKnesses is really comparable to Tzibur, it's like a corporation, therefore there's no prohibition necessarily for the shul to own chametz on Pesach, and therefore the knas, the penalty of chametz shavar lava Pesach, wouldn't necessarily apply to the chametz that was owned by the shul on Pesach. So based on those reasons, and a few other reasons, he was mekel and allowed the shul to use the schnapps. But either way, this machlekes between the Aguda and the Ktzois, and Rav Moshe Feinstein, and Rabbi Kiviger, as to whether the Tzibur is a corporation the Beis HaKnesset, the corporation, similar to Hekdesh, and or it's a shutfis, similar to any regular partnership, has nafkaminas, halacha lemaisa, in many different areas. There are more. There's just three that we mentioned. Well, again, one is the idea of kinyan chatzer, acquiring things in a shul through kinyan chatzer. Number two, ksiva sefer Torah. And number three, the potential prohibition of owning chametz on Pesach and the knas of chametz sha'avar lo Pesach. This all came out from the Gemara Bava Metzia and Daf Chaf Daled, very tangentially, but also very important. So we will stop here.
Interesting.
Yashukaych.